Mezad Hashem, less than 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate Pesach.
Why oy?
Oy is not good, it should be yay. Most people, you tell them Pesach, they oy. It should be yay, Baruch Hashem, going out of Egypt. But I know why you say oy, because there's a lot of cleaning to do and a lot of expenses and a lot of what to do. So we want to talk a little bit today about what needs to be done, especially that we know that 30 days before a holiday, that's usually when the head of the community or the rabbi of the congregation would start teaching all the rules of the holiday. You gotta get ready. So we started that 2 weeks ago before I left, but now we're continuing. We need to know what needs to be done, how to do it. This month is full of action. So the first and most important is that we have to understand that since Pesach is coming, needless to say, we have to start cleaning everything. We're not going to talk about today about cleaning, but just as a side note, that we have to clean our house thoroughly and all our belongings. And we can't have any chametz in our possession in any type of form of a way. Needless to say that a lot of the cleaning is a spiritual cleaning and emotional cleaning. I have to clean all the junk out of my system. But 30 days before Pesach, I have to start being already very careful with chametz. Because I'm already starting to clean. So you finish eating, you see now somebody left their pita on the table, then I have to start being very careful with chametz. The last one? Yeah. And the last couple of weeks, every time that we eat here on Shabbat, then I say out loud, please don't put the Sidurim, the prayer book, on the table, because the table is full of chametz, and we have special prayer books for Birkat Hamazon, for benching, and that you can make it all dirty. For Pesach anyways, we put it away. But the thing is that you want to make sure that you're already aware of the fact that everything is has to be not only clean, that when I'm eating already chametz, not to start making even more of a mess. Because usually what happens, half a year before Pesach, it will get swept, it will get somehow cleaned up. Now you have to be very aware now in our house, even though we try to follow a rule in our house that we don't eat outside of the kitchen, but with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, it doesn't always work, these rules. And they're walking around the house with something in their mouth. But now, a month before Pesach, that's the rule is much stronger, and no eating not eating anything anywhere. So we got to be very, very particular that now we have to be extra cautious with the chametz. And I want to make sure that I'm not putting more work than I need to. Which means that you also have to take into consideration that the cleaning of chametz is very important, but you don't have to go completely crazy. Some people will go completely nuts with the cleaning, and it's not healthy. I mean, sometimes people before Pesach, you find them like hanging on the ceiling, cleaning the chandeliers, and there's no chametz on the chandelier. I can guarantee to you that up there, there's no chametz. And no, I never saw anybody sitting with a roll and being like, so. You can clean, you can call it spring cleaning, call it whatever you want, but there's places that usually there's not going to be chametz there. You have to clean thoroughly and good, and take into consideration that you don't have to go crazy here, dust is not chametz. Another thing that we have to be very, very careful is that we should not eat matzah 30 days before Pesach. Some people like eating matzah because it's tasty. Or on Shabbat, they run out of bread and they want to wash for a meal, and they wash on matzah. It's customary not to eat matzah 30 days before Pesach. So if you can, the whole 30 days, I mean, there's not much longer. When we're Sunday, and Pesach is next Friday. So that shouldn't be another problem. Now, one thing that we want to do, we want to make sure that we do that, before Pesach, it's called Ma'ot Chitim. Ma'ot Chitim. Ma'ot Chitim, Ma'ot is money and Chitim is wheat. And there is a custom מנהג מקובל בכל ישראל שכל קהילה וקהילה גובה מחבריה מאות עיתים לפסח. There is a custom that every congregation or every community, they're collecting funds from the members of the community. Why? And it's called מאות חיתים, money for the חיתים is wheat. Why? To help the poor people in the city or the congregation or the community, to help them with the purchases, the shopping for Pesach. A lot of people are embarrassed, they don't want to come and ask, and unfortunately many people are in a financial stress and they need help. So as a side note, I'm telling you that we have a fund. You know anybody who needs help with Pesach shopping, wine and matzah and food, and we have a fund that we help people. So if you know anybody that needs help, you can tell them. It's very private. Nobody needs to know who's getting and what they're getting. And it's important that everybody participates in this mitzvah and that you give to a certain fund, or you give it directly. And some people don't want to do it, and maybe they get offended. But if you have the opportunity, you should give an extra dose of charity to a family or couple families that need assistance with their holiday shopping. It's a very expensive holiday.
Yeah.
Just the wine and the matzah and the cleaning and extra food and buying all the extra stuff for Pesach. And usually people like buying something new to wear. And this is a very expensive, Pesach is a very expensive holiday. So we do have this mitzvah, it's called Ma'ot Chitim. Many people already, they have this custom. And some people give it to a fund, and some people say, I'm going to give it directly to somebody. And nevertheless, this money, you want it to go specifically for buying food for the holiday. So when we give stuff, then I don't give money. I give bottles of wine, or I'll give matzah, so I know that it goes for the holiday. Some poor people will say, I take the money, but I need to pay my rent or my bill. This is not going to be considered ma'ot chitim. So you want to make sure that even if you're doing that directly, then make a package and buy matzah. Matzah is very expensive, or kosher wine and so forth. But this is a very big mitzvah that we do before the holiday. And needless to say that we are very lucky that we are observant Jews, but there are many people that are not observant. And it's in our responsibility to influence whoever we can to do whatever they can. So I can quietly and very easily say that each and every one of us has at least a few family members that are non-observant. With all of us coming from a non-observant world. So we all have family and friends that are non-observant. There are 8 mitzvot that one needs to do on Pesach, and they're very severe mitzvot. And we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. This is one of the most severest prohibitions in the Torah, that the punishment is one of the most severe punishments in the Torah for eating chametz. So needless to say, I want to educate whoever I can in a nice way, in a loving way, do whatever I can. I know it's not easy to influence my family, but nevertheless, one way of making them do a mitzvah is providing to people a real matzah to eat. It is a mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah, especially on the night of Pesach. I mean, that is the time of the mitzvah. So it's customary that a lot of people, they will buy some extra matzot and they will give to family members and tell them, maybe you can come to our little seder. If you can, make sure you eat it on the night of Pesach. So nevertheless, we want to also make sure that the ones who are less lucky and they don't know what's going on with Pesach, is that we educate them and that we share with them, and we do invite people, our families and friends to a seder party, a seder dinner. And we got to make sure that people get exposed to what we do, to the mitzvot. This is a very, very important part of our tradition. Now, yesterday, Baruch Hashem, was the first day of the month of Nisan. Very, very powerful month. I gave a lecture last week in New York. It's online. You can go and watch it. It's a little bit long. It ended up being like a 2-hour lecture. But a very, very powerful lecture explaining in a very mystical and deep and practical way what can be achieved in this month, all the stops in the month, what can be done, very, very important things, because Pesach is not about cleaning. I said before Pesach, you said oi. Oi because you're just thinking of how much you have to mop the floor. Pesach is the most amazing holiday that, for my self-growth, is the most powerful holiday of the year. for my own self-growth, to go out of my limitations, to go out of the things that pull me down. We all battle with different emotional problems, sadness, depression, anxiety, fears, worry, and many other things that we deal on a daily basis. And Pesach is the day that I can go out of my limitations. Needless to say, everything around Pesach, the preparation and all around it, is very, very important. So the whole entire month of Nisan is a very powerful month to start with. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we already celebrated the Rosh Chodesh, which was amazing. But we need to know a few things that are important for this month. First of all, the entire month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun when we pray. We don't say Tachanun when we pray. There's a certain parts of our prayers that we don't say. Usually people don't like saying it regardless. In the morning today, before we started praying, I just mentioned out loud to the congregation, just to remind you, on Pesach, in the month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun. So everybody was smiling, and I was like, yeah, that I know I don't need to remind you. Everybody knows, and they're happy that on Pesach you don't say Tachanun, because it makes the prayer much, much shorter. 20% of the prayer we don't say. So there's a lot of parts of the prayer that we don't say. Most of the Sidurim will have a commentary, what is considered the Tachanun, what we say, what we don't say. But Tachanun is the part where we add additional parts of the prayer. One of them is when we do the confessing, when we bang on the heart, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu, this whole long part, and it's a long part. And not only that, on Mondays and Thursdays, there's a very long addition in Shacharit when we add, in Mincha we say Tachanun, there's other parts, but the entire month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun, so you saved about 20 minutes a day of praying, probably even more. And the parts also that we don't say, there's a certain verse, a certain chapter of Tehillim that we say, L'Amnatzeach Ya'ancha, we don't say that, we don't say Keler Chapaim, and what's called Nefilat Apayim, that we fall on our hands. And Baruch Hashem, also on Shabbat, we don't say Ava Rachamim v'Tzidkatcha. These are different parts of the prayers that we don't say. And I know most people are happy when you tell them there's no Tachanun, because it's making the prayer shorter. Although, it's almost like saying, go to a restaurant and don't eat. So why did you go to the restaurant if you don't want to eat, if you're not eating? So Tachanun is one of the most important parts of the prayer, and it allows us to gain forgiveness and closeness to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, we don't say Tachanun. Another thing that we don't do through the month of Nisan is we don't fast. Most people, you'll tell them fast, they right away say Oi, but some people take on themselves to fast. When I became observant, I used to fast for about 2 years, every Monday and Thursday. It was a regular thing that I did. I mean, fasting is very good for you, when spiritually, when you want to refine yourself, cleanse yourself. We know many times that the fasting helps with removing sins, removing all sorts of blemishes on the soul. But nevertheless, to reach a higher level of refinement, you fast, because you segregate yourself from the physical needs. If you don't fast, and all day long the mouth is busy, you know, I'm not talking about talking, I'm talking about chewing. And when you don't eat and you fast, then you put yourself under a control that you can't eat right now. So I did that for many reasons, and you know what, I can tell you, it's a very high level of refinement, because you put yourself under control. You don't even notice that on a day-to-day basis, we don't control our urges. I feel a little bit of hunger right away. I open the fridge. I come to an event or something, there'll be some cookies on the table right away. So, which is fine, but as long as you have one cookie, you know, 12. But the point is, when it comes to food, then we have a very severe rectification with food, because the first sin was with food. Adam and Chava, they ate from the tree of knowledge. So up until today, we have something with food. That we see that a lot of our tikkun is around food. So I found specifically that fasting, it's not that I found, it's not that I invented it. This is taught by our sages. But fasting as a way to get you separated from the physical needs. And needless to say, it refines you, it elevates you, it's also very healthy to clean your entire body. So nevertheless, many people do fast. I know a lot of people that they take on themselves fast, maybe half days or full days. In the winter it's very easy because the fast ends at 4:35 in the afternoon. In the summer it's a little bit harder. You go fasting till 9:30 at night. But nevertheless, on the month of Nisan we do not fast. The only times that we fast is the firstborns and their fathers fasting on the morning of Pesach. And usually what most people do is they'll make a party or they'll finish a tractate to do a siyum and then they eat. So they're kind of cheating the system. But it's fine. The system allows you and you can do it. There's no problem. But this is the time that you will fast. And of course, if somebody is a bride and groom, the day of the wedding, the bride and groom fasts. So brides and grooms on their wedding days do fast in the month of Nisan. Only time they don't fast is Chol HaMoed. And usually people don't really get married on Chol HaMoed, although there's no problem to get married on Chol HaMoed. And you don't fast also in Isru Chag, the day after the month, the holiday of Pesach. That's also, you don't want to fast on that day. So I don't think you have this issue, but we still want to learn. Now, another thing that we do also in the beginning of the month of Nisan, is that we say every day after the prayer of Shacharit a very short addition to the prayer, and it's called Parasat HaNasi. It's a little addition that we do at the time when they inaugurated the tabernacle. Every day of from the day of their inauguration, one head of the tribe brought a certain sacrifice. We read that on Hanukkah. In the Torah, now we're reading it, we're adding a little portion, the whole thing takes literally 4 minutes. And we add that, it's called Parashat HaNasi, and every day we read the portion of each one from each tribe. And we just read the part of the Torah, and then we read another short prayer. Not a lot of people do it, but it's a very, very recommended to do. Mystically, it's very powerful to the soul, to the addition, rectification of the soul, and for the as a nation as a whole. And most of the Sidurim, you can find it. You would look for the, it's called Parashat HaNasi of Chodesh Nisan. And every day we read one. So from the first day of Nisan till the 12th day, every day is one tribe. And then the 13th day, there's another piece that we read. And then the 14th day already is already Pesach. That's something that we read, and the 13th part we read, this is part of the parasha, it's called Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach. This is corresponding to the tribe of Levi. Today in the morning, somebody asked me, do Cohen and Levi still have to read it because they know from which tribe they are? So we do, Kohanim and Levim still read it, because they, as a whole, as a nation, we are all connected. And even though we are divided in tribes, but nevertheless, we all have some type of a spark from each tribe. And when I read it, I arouse this spark in me, and it does affect the entire nation when we read that. It's Kabbalistically a very powerful thing to do. It's very, very short, takes exactly 3 minutes. Now, another amazing thing that we do on Pesach, on Nisan, is that we have the opportunity the entire month to say a certain blessing, and it's a blessing on the trees, Birkat HaIlanot. And usually, doesn't matter where you are in the world, once Nisan comes in, you see spring comes. And even though in some parts of the world it's still freezing, I was now in New York last week, there was still snow. So, but nevertheless, you still see that things start sprouting. So the whole month we have the opportunity to say Birkat HaIlanot, and there is a certain blessing. You can find it in the Siddur, in the prayer book, in many other places. I'm just going to read the blessing that we can explain it. The blessing goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shelo Chisar BaOlamo Klum, that he didn't, nothing misses in the world. There's nothing lacking in the world. When he created the world, he didn't even miss one detail. Uvaravo Briyot Tovot, and he created good creatures and creations in the world. And more than that, he created ilanot tovot. He created good trees. Lehenot b'hem bnei adam. That we as humans should benefit and derive pleasure from them. Basically saying, in other words, that we were created to eat from trees, not to eat anything else. But that's a different issue right now. We're not going to get into this topic. But nevertheless, we were originally created to eat from trees and from the ground, not to eat animals and not to eat chemicals and not to consume all sorts of things that has nothing to do with our body. So unfortunately now, 99% of what we eat is junk, it's not even edible, it's not even real food. And we're also not meant to eat food, meat. I mean, I didn't even know how we turned to become carnivores. Our body is not even designed to eat meat. Even if you look at the structure of the jaws and the teeth and the digesting system, and for whatever reason, people have a misconception that our religion, I don't like using the word religion, rather I would say that our faith, is called the faith of the meat-eating faith. Well, no, it's not. It doesn't say we have to eat meat all day long. It happens to be that at the holy temple, the priests used to eat some of the meat, not all of it. And also, we know that on holidays, on festivals, it says, yeah, en simcha lebasar v'mayim. There's happiness and joy when you have wine and meat. But it doesn't mean you have to eat it like a carnivore. You can eat a little piece, and it doesn't mean you have to eat the meat. But nevertheless, very soon Mashiach is going to come. We're going to go back to the original state. We're not going to be meat eaters when Mashiach comes. And originally when the world was created, we weren't designed to eat meat. Only after Noah, after the flood, they started eating meat. But nevertheless, this is just goes to show you how it says the Kadosh Baruch Hu created good trees. When Mashiach is going to come soon, all the trees are going to bear fruit. Right now, most of the trees don't bear fruit. A lot of the trees are they just have nice flowers or leaves. Not only that, the fruit that we eat, they're very stale. Once in a blue moon, you'll taste like a good peach or a good orange, and you're like, wow. They're, and even what we have here that is good is not good. When Mashiach is going to come, the fruit, they're going to be like candy. They're going to be so delicious and so yummy that we're not going to be able to have enough of it. And needless to say, all the trees are going to have fruit. And when Adam and Chava were placed in Gan Eden, it says, "Mikol asher bagan, mikol asher ha'etz asher bagan bo tuchal." But from all the trees in the garden, that's you're going to eat from. There wasn't a Pizza Hut and McDonald's in Gan Eden. They had trees, and that's it. And they weren't looking to eat their falafel and other sources of other junk. Nevertheless, we know there is a argument in the Talmud between two sages, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, when was the world created? One says that the world was created on Tishrei, that's when we think it's the beginning of the year. And the other, Rabbi Eliezer says in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, it was created in Nisan. And really there's no argument between both of them. The Arizal says there's no argument, there's no disagreement, because they're both right. The physical world was created in Tishrei, and the spiritual part of the world, the neshama of the world, was given in Nisan. So the world actually was not even created in Tishrei, it was created in Elul, in the 26th day of Elul. And the 25th day of Elul. And Aleph Tishrei was already after the world was created. But nevertheless, people relate to Tishrei being the first month, which is a mistake. The first month is Nisan. This is actually saying very clearly in the Torah that Nisan is the first month of the calendar and Tishrei is the seventh month of the calendar. This is clearly stated in the Torah. It's not that our sages added that. So nevertheless, the creation of the world is Nisan. And you know, one of the things that signify creation is growth. You take a tree and you bury it in the ground. You take a seed, you bury it in the ground, and well, what do you know? After months, it grows a whole tree. So this is the secret of creation, taking something, same taking nothing, and making something out of it. So nevertheless, this is the month that the spiritual part of the world was created, and this is the month where we have the opportunity to bless the trees. It's a very big mitzvah, doesn't take much. All you need to find is a tree that has a fruit. Some places they have a few of them. Here in the old city, if you go in the alley of Chatam Sofer next to the Hesder Yeshiva. They have like a little garden. I think they have like 3-4 types of trees. We were actually thinking of maybe making a group.
We're thinking of maybe making a group and
going to one of the Moshavim here where they have a lot of trees and making a outing out of it. But nevertheless, it's best to do it. Yeah, or we can go to Karen's house. But best to do it as early as possible in the month. Don't leave it till the end. And if you can, do it right after the morning prayer. And all you need to do is be next to the tree, read the bracha, have the intention that our nourishment should come from nature, have the intention that Mashiach should come very soon, that we should be only nourishing from trees and vegetation. And then maybe some people will get a little bit common sense and stop consuming food that is not edible, and to maybe just in that department that people should get some common sense. Now, very important that we know that en mevarchim bracha zo ela al ilanot ma'achal. You don't say the blessing only on a tree that has food. You can't say it on a tree that doesn't have edible fruit. This is the most important. Ve'lo al ilanot tzrak. Sometimes there are trees and there is fruit, but the fruit is not edible. It has to be on a tree that you can actually pull the fruit off and eat it right away. And you cannot say this blessing on a tree that doesn't have any fruit to start with. Now, the ones who want to do it a little bit extra, more cautious, המדקדקים מקפידים לברך על שני אילנות המוציאים פרחים. The best is to do it on two trees. So if you have a garden, you have an orange tree and a lemon tree, good. And more, better. But after the fact, even one tree is enough. But better if you can find two trees, and also trees that they bear also flowers and not only fruit, like a cherry tree and apple tree, whatever it is. So you want to make sure that the trees, they have fruit and flowers. But nevertheless, if you can find that, you can settle with one tree that doesn't even have flowers. Now, one more thing that is important for us to get ready. This coming Shabbat is going to be Shabbat HaGadol. This is the Shabbat that we celebrate before Pesach. And the reason why it's called Shabbat HaGadol, because on that Shabbat, originally, the first Shabbat was a great miracle done in Mitzrayim. And the miracle was that on the 10th of Nisan, they were commanded to take a sheep or a goat. And they had to tie it to the bed. And the sheep was the idol of the Egyptians. And of course the Egyptians was like, what are you doing with our God? Why are you tying our God to your bed? And they told them, because we're going to slaughter it in 4 days. Slaughter it? Well, why you want to slaughter it? Because God told us to. And then what are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to eat it. Eat it? You're going to eat our God? Yeah, and then the remaining, we're going to burn it to the ground. And there was a huge miracle that they didn't do anything to them. They actually, you would think that they will attack them, kill them, or whatever it is. Rather, the Egyptians went the other way around and went to Paro and started fighting with Paro. Let them go. They're about to kill our gods. So there was a very big miracle that was done there. And since there, it was called Shabbat HaGadol. That was a great miracle because, based on nature, the Egyptians should have killed them on the spot and Chas v'Shalom make a war against them. But nevertheless, there was a big miracle. And up until today, we call this Shabbat, Shabbat HaGadol. There are many reasons why we call it also Shabbat HaGadol. And this is just one of them. And Shabbat HaGadol שחל בערב פסח מפטירים בה וערבה לפי שכתוב שם אביהו מעשר אל בית האוצר. Sometimes Pesach is מוצאי Shabbat. It happened a few times in the last couple years. So if Shabbat HaGadol is on the morning of Pesach, then this is not happening this year. Shabbat HaGadol this year is this Shabbat and the following Shabbat is Pesach. But we just want to learn to know the knowledge. If Shabbat HaGadol falls on the morning of Pesach, then we read a certain haftarah, a different haftarah. And if it falls in the days before that, then we read a different type of haftarah to Shavua, a different haftarah that is the haftarah of that week. Now we have a custom that on Shabbat HaGadol, the rabbi of the city or the rabbi of the congregation teaches and talks about the laws of Pesach and teaches what needs to be done, what not needs to be done, that everybody is fresh in their mind. So just make sure that wherever you are, you know that in the shul, the rabbi should be talking about Pesach and you want to go and listen to it to just remind yourself what needs to be done and what not needs to be done. More than that, we have a custom, you should do it, it's very, very important. Then on Shabbat HaGadol, after Mincha of Shabbat, we read a portion of the Haggadah. And because that's really when it all started. So you want to make sure that this coming Shabbat, after Mincha, here we're going to have a Mincha a little bit earlier than the usual, so we can have that extra 10-15 minutes to read. And we read from the beginning of the Haggadah, which says Avadim Ha'inu, till the point in the Haggadah where it says Lechaper al Avonotenu, to atone for our sins. And the reason why we read it on Shabbat is because that was the beginning of the redemption and the beginning of all the miracles. So we want to relate to that, we want to commemorate that, and we want to connect with that. So this is all coming in this following, in this coming Shabbat. Other than that, we don't do much. Besides reading the Haggadah and commemorating the day, we just have to remember what happened. And needless to say, when something happens in the past, it's like a birthday. Why do you commemorate your birthday? Why do you make a party? So most people make a party because they want presents. But really, it's a day of celebration. So, you know, some cultures, they celebrate it the other around. They're happy when on the death day, and the birthday is a sad day. So that's when you came to the world. And they commemorate death. I mean, they celebrate death than actually the birthday, which kind of makes more sense. That's it. I finished my job here, and I'm going to a better place. But nevertheless, this is a very powerful time to do tshuva. It's to awaken ourselves to understand. Mainly, when we commemorate things from our past, is not necessarily to look back. It's rather to look forward. It's the same thing what we did now on Purim and on Chanukah. Why did we fast before Purim? It's something that happened 2,000 years ago. You know how many times people try to destroy us and we don't fast for that? So Dafka, when Haman wanted to destroy us, we're fasting. Why aren't we fasting when Paro wanted to destroy us and Sancheriv and whatever, whoever it was? And how many people came, Titus and Nebuchadnezzar, and so many people came to destroy us. How come we don't have a fast? So specifically, we have a fast for that on Purim. We learned that on Purim. We don't need to repeat now what we said. But the point of the fast and the point of commemorating many things in the past is not to look to the past and to cry about something that happened. Is to learn from the past and look forward to change something in the future. Now, we suffer from one problem as humans, that we're not appreciative. We're not appreciative to our family, we're not appreciative to our friends, and we're not appreciative to our master, to God. And this is a bad character trait. People help you, people go out of their way to make you feel comfortable or wanted, or they help you financially, or whatever it is. And most people are not appreciative. They take it for granted, like as if somebody owes you anything. And more than that, Hashem helps you all day long. You don't even notice how many miracles Hashem does for you. And we're just, yeah, of course Hashem has to feed me and give me the ability to breathe. Very few people really take the time once a day to thank a God and to thank other people. I don't know many people that turn to their wife after dinner and say, honey, the food was amazing and I appreciate the fact that you stood on your feet for half an hour and making the meal. And sometimes all it takes is a little appreciation. You know, sometimes my kids, that's what we educate them. Sometimes my kids come out of nowhere and they thank us for something. And it's so special. I came now from a trip. I told you already so many times, I'm like the schlepper of the family. I go with no suitcases and I come with like 7 suitcases. Everybody goes shopping and I'm like carrying like... Somebody once needs to take a picture of me, how I look when I come off the plane. And every time I tell my wife, it's the last time I'm doing it. I always come back with back pains and bags. I don't even know how I got everything squashed in. This time I told my wife, I'm so overweight. I don't even know how they're going to let me through. Luckily, I have a very high status in El Al. They have all these the frequent flyer, they have different status, gold, platinum, I don't know, bronze, whatever the names are. And I fly a lot, so I have a very high status. So they let me constantly in. So I came, all my stuff was overweight. But not a kilo over, like a lot. They just let me through. So I told my wife, you see, it's worth having a good status with El Al. So she told me, they let you through because you carried things to many people. Everybody says, oh, you're coming from America? Do you mind? I just want to send something small. Everybody told me, it's just something small. You know, this size, it's not so big. Somebody told me, can I send something to my son? I told her, are you counting from here to here or from here to here? With this huge bag, I told her, that's not small. But anyways, so Baruch Hashem. So my wife told me, see, you carry things with people, so they let you with the overweight. But nevertheless, my kids, I bring them a lot of presents. They suffer. Their father goes away. They shouldn't be suffering. But nevertheless, I'm like the hero. I don't even do anything. My wife goes on Amazon. She shops for everything, and I come with the suitcases full of presents. I'm like the hero. I'm like super dad. And they always ask me, because did you get me the blue or the red one? I'm like, it's a surprise. Why ruin the surprise? No, what did you get? So my wife is the shopper, I'm the schlepper. Nevertheless, so I came back, everybody got their presents, and my seven-year-old came to me the next day, and he says, out of nowhere, thank you for bringing me presents. So, and I was like, oh, good. You see that a child is appreciative. He understands that it just doesn't fall from the ceiling. And we have to learn to appreciate everything that everybody does for us. Don't take anybody for granted. Not your father, not your husband, not your son, not your neighbor, not anybody. Technically, nobody owes you anything. Nobody needs to do anything for you. And we just think that the world owes us something. So you have to be very thankful to your spouse for even little things. I'm not expecting thanks from anyone, but when my wife comes and tells me, thank you for working hard, or my child, thank you for bringing me a present, or many other things, it's that's what I need. I just need a little thank you. Not me, a person needs just a little bit of appreciation. You slave over a hot stove for 3-4 hours to make a meal, all you want is a thank you. You don't need somebody to come and to praise how amazing. It's just a little thank you. And just a nice comment on the food. It's good, it's yummy, it's amazing. But nevertheless, Hashem is the same thing. Hashem says, I give you so much, right? You can't say a thank you? Just one little thank you. Just appreciate what I do for you. So when we commemorate this Shabbat HaGadol, what are we commemorating? A huge miracle. So it's for us not to look back and say Hashem saved us 3,400 years ago. It's to be able to understand, on a daily basis, Hashem is saving me. Not only on a daily basis, every 3 seconds Hashem is allowing me to take a breath. Mm-hmm. And I don't even realize how much I need this. And it's free. And I don't even thinking of it. So it has to teach us to be appreciative. To be appreciative of everything that Hashem does to us. He does unbelievable miracles. We don't even notice what miracles Hashem does. It seems to us like things don't work out. But they work out how they're supposed to work out. And Hashem, the way He works, when He closes one door, right away another door opens. That's how Hashem works. So we have to understand that the things that happen to us, it's not chas v'shalom, Hashem is punishing us or ignoring us. Rather, Hashem is opening a much better door for me. And I have to be appreciative. I have to be appreciative for the good things. And I have to be appreciative for the things that are not so good. So I have to take this Shabbat HaGadol to commemorate not something that happened in the past, rather something that is going to happen in the future, and to teach me that I have to be appreciative to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zad Hashem, we're going to continue learning more halachot already next class. And we're going to start learning about how we're burning the chametz, what we have to do with the chametz, how to do it, when to do it, all that stuff. Zad Hashem, selling the chametz, hiding the chametz, what we're going to do on the morning of Pesach. We have, Baruch Hashem, a few more classes, but for now we got a little bit of information what to do before. And Bezat Hashem, you should start applying it, and you should start preparing already now, not leaving things to the last minute, not the cleaning, not the shopping, not the tshuva that you have to do. Bezat Hashem, Hashem should bless us to really experience freedom in this holiday. This is the holiday of freedom. And we should happily go out of this exile into the complete and final redemption, Bezrat Hashem.